Happy New Year. Again, Happy New Year. Look to your neighbor and say, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I think more of us are meaning it more this year than any other year. Many of us are glad to see 2020 behind us. So we're speaking prophetically, Happy New Year. But you know, challenges and battles happen in life. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. So challenges can come. Challenges will come. It is not unusual to have challenges, but it is unusual as believers for us to live continuously in a challenge. If you're fighting all the time, maybe we have to relook at the situation. Sure, the enemy is going to try to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. There's a time to fight, there's a time to rest. And so if we're not careful, we can find ourselves always in battle. There's something wrong there. And God never intended us to ever live in defeat. So it's not unusual to be in a battle. It is unusual as a believer, your potentials to never live or in defeat. Doesn't mean you won't face challenges or won't learn from your challenges. David learned from his. When he fought the lion and the bear, we find out in his story to the king before he faced Goliath that he knocked him down with a rock, but the lion and the bear woke up and came back at him, and he had to kill him with his hands. So the next time when he faced Goliath, he knew that he needed to still work with his rock. That was the proven tool for him. That's where his expertise was in. Many times, our challenges in life, and let me just take a side road, some of our challenges and difficulties is not that God didn't equip us. We're trying to use somebody else's armor to beat our battles today. Because it's the mystique of someone else's talent, skills, or abilities is always has a mystery to it, does it not? Wow, look at them sing. And yet the person who can sing is like, oh, yeah. Wow, look how they can lead. And to the natural leader, they look at it, oh, it's no big deal. Look how they can solve that problem. And to the problem solver, it's just, oh, yeah, it seems like it just comes natural. And so we tend to have a human tendency to look at problems and solve them with somebody else's armor. And if that's what you're doing because it looks cooler, it looks newer, it looks more unique to us. If that's the rhythm you get into, you'll find yourself dealing with challenges and not coming out successful and thinking, God, why don't you give me victory? And God said, I gave you a rock, but I don't want to use a rock. I've already been using a rock. I've practiced with that rock so many times. I'm bored with that rock. God, I don't want to use what's proven. I want to use something new. Right. And when you try to work with something new, you tend not to be so successful with it. If you're an archer, grab the arrow. If you're a sharpshooter, grab your gun. The Bible calls it, the Word of God, a sword of the Spirit. Stay with me. If you pull someone else's sword, you might not be comfortable with it. If you use scriptures just because you heard them, it might not work for you. We have to learn to sharpen the sword by allowing that rhema, the revelation of that word, the word become alive to us. And so never jump out of the boat because you heard Peter walked. Jump out of the boat when Jesus calls you to walk. Did you hear me? I feel like I'm speaking to somebody and that you've been in the church world and you've been frustrated because the things you've tried haven't produced the results that you expected. But the things you have tried were revelation that God gave to somebody else and not to you. You can't live on second day manna. You can't live on second day revelation. You have to find what God is revealing from his word for you specifically in the moment. And when you learn to operate that way, am I speaking to somebody? You'll find that it is a relationship. That you are being led by the Spirit. You are walking with God. You're allowing his word. Now, if you never read the word and go to church maybe once every 8 weeks, and some of you are like, phew, I go every six. I'm safe. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, if the word's not a priority to you, it won't make a difference in your life. Right. Because what you treat as casual, what you treat as common, diminishes in your life.
Right.
What you handle with disrespect, you lose.
Come on.
I don't care if that's your marriage. I don't care if that's your friends. I don't care if it's your finances. I don't care if it's your career. If you treat it as no big deal and handle it that way, eventually it will become the way you treat it. But when you see value in something and handle it correctly, and when you begin to understand the value in the Word of God and handle that correctly, handle it that this is just not a historical book. This is just not a good idea. But say, God, I'm opening up my heart, to my eyes and my heart and my ears. And Lord, I pray that you reveal to me, show me what you want me to know in this book today. It might, you just don't randomly, you can random if you want to, but as you study the Word of God, say, Lord, just pray before you read. Holy Spirit, open this Word and let God reveal it. His word to you and just walk it out.
Amen.
Walk it out. I'm trying to free some of you because some of you are have been under the bondage of other religions or churches or denominations, and they put a standard of living upon you based on the revelation of somebody else, and you're trying to do what is somebody else's armor, and you keep striking out in the game of life.
Come on.
And it's important for us to understand that, because I'm here to tell you that in life there'll be battles, there'll be challenges, there'll be giants if you want to. Go down that metaphor. Jesus said, in this life you'll have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says it this way. Beloved, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. See, don't be surprised. We're not trying to put the emphasis to the battle, but I want the emphasis to the reality that God's called you to win. And if you go to battle with somebody else's revelation, you'll strike out. But when you go to the battle with the revelation from the word that God's placed in your heart, the moment you act upon it, the moment you're speaking it, the moment you are implementing it, you are doing it by faith, not by feeling. Because if you're working on feeling, Sunday you'll be excited. Monday you're going to be miserable. We operate and have success based on the level of faith, which means we're not moved by what we feel here or see. We're moved by the word of God. And Paul and Peter is now bringing this to attention. Beloved, don't be surprised.
Yeah.
Pastor, I'm having the devil's attacking me. Well, what are you surprised about that for?
Right.
Now, if you live in a constant attack, something else is wrong.
Right.
And I find that in ministry and talking to a lot of people, some people don't need the devil. They create their own problems. Man, devil's been after me, cost me my job. The devil didn't cost you your job. You haven't showed up for 3 days, and when your boss called you, you cussed him out on the phone. That was no devil. That was you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Some people, they self-implode. They got to learn to stand their ground and not try to make a decision just because someone asked them to make a decision.
Right.
I learned from my dad years ago, just because someone asked doesn't mean you have to give them an answer. Devil will try to force your hand to get you to step out before it's time, for God said go. If God didn't tell you to go, don't go.
Right.
If God tells you to jump, jump.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not looking for voices, my friend. We're looking for understanding through the word of God. And when you get the revelation and understanding from God's word, then it'll be clear in your heart what you need to do. Sometimes it's okay just to take a step back and say, Lord, I'm feeling pressure to move, but I don't feel you lead. I'm getting ahead of myself. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you. That is the test quality of your faith, as though something strange or unusual was happening to you. What is he saying? Why are you surprised? You're not the only one. Has the devil ever told you that you're the only one? Doesn't he make you feel like you're the only one? You're the only one that's been lied to. You're the only one that has had someone stab you in the back. You're the only one who's trying to cost you your job. You're the only one who's trying to get ahead of you. You're the only one that someone's trying to take your spot. You're the only one, and we have this mindset, if we're not careful, that it's just us. Everybody else is great, but we're the ones wounded.
Come on.
They hurt me. Well, they were hurt themselves. Hurt people hurt people. They lied about me. Probably won't be the first.
Come on. That's the truth.
The way I read this is Peter is basically saying, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Get over the situation. And that's not something we like to say in the church world, because all of a sudden I could just feel some of you just lean back internally like, whoa, wait a minute. I came for some little comfort and just touch the back of my hand and tell me it's going to be okay. Jesus, I'll never leave you and forsake you. It's going to be okay. Just hang in there. And what people a lot of times in the church world want is sympathy. But sympathy won't get you to victory. And as much as I love you, I want to give you the truth, because then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah. And that truth comes from the Word. Amen. Yeah. Why are you surprised? It's normal to fight battles, but it's not normal to be defeated. Amen. I mean, Paul even said, I have fought the good fight of faith. Now, it doesn't mean that every day you have to wake up and fight. But when there is a fight to fight, you don't run from it.
Right.
It's a change. Today I want to talk about and start, and we'll see if we can get through it in one day or get through it in 3 weeks. I don't know. We'll just play this out. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So if you all start leaving, I know that we'll get it to it in a few weeks. If you all stay, we might get this. Today I want to talk about three keys to winning a fight. Three keys to winning a fight. Now, there's obviously this, no series, no subject matter can be in its entirety. But again, like anything, I want you to challenge it and study it on your own. Because in my opinion, what has happened in the church world, we talk about the love of God, but people don't understand that there's still a strength to Jesus.
Amen.
We still serve a zealous God. He is the Lord of the armies of heaven. He's the commander in chief. He's the King of kings. Some of you all, if you're at the baby level, all you're thinking about is, I hope I don't sin today. But when you start growing up into the things of God, you look at it and say, sin is not the problem. You know what I mean? We deal with sin. We deal with temptation. I'm not saying that you don't, but I'm just saying that's not the problem. And I'm not saying we don't give in to sin. Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8 talks about that. Shall that we're free from sin, do we continue to live in sin, that to utilize that freedom? He said, God forbid. But the reality is, most people in their Christian walk, as far as they get is, should I smoke that drug? Or not? Should I commit adultery? I mean, their biggest thing in their salvation is, should I watch this bad program? They kind of have learned to stay low in their walk with God. But I'm telling you that when you grow into the things of God, you'll begin to see life a little differently. And you notice that a lot of times with the battles of life, because when there's a fight, you want to see who's going to stand with you. You can always have a lot of friends with you, but when there's an obstacle, you know what I mean, who stays with you? Have you ever, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but have you ever been in a confrontation in the natural and you go to look to make sure your friends are there and they are all left you and you're standing by yourself? You're like, really, really? There's three of them and I thought we had five of us and now I'm all by myself, right? But what has been lost in the church world, in my opinion, is this context of fighting. Oh, can't we all just kumbaya, get along, coexist? And next time I see a bumper sticker that says, can't we all just coexist? I want to drive by and say, no. No, but you can't. Jesus didn't try to get along with everybody. You got to read your Bible again. Jesus gave a strong worded email, instant message, to the Pharisees. I mean, he would say just some stuff.
Right.
They looked religious. They were the religious epitome. Everybody looked up to them. They were the stars of the show. And Jesus, because of their position in the church, and Jesus would say, "You're acting just like your father, the devil."
Yep.
I mean, he'd start a fight sometimes.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying to go out and go across the street and go pick a fight with somebody. But what I want to draw attention to today is that I believe there's keys for us in the battles of life to come out in victory.
Amen.
Number one, say number one. Our key verse for this topic today comes out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever, or better translation, say for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we approach your word, I ask for a fresh anointing by the Holy Spirit upon this moment. We sanctify this moment right now. Let us have ears to hear, hearts to be receptive, eyes to see what you want us to receive today. Help us to apply it, Lord. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. First key to winning the fight. The first key is the right perspective. Your attitude, your perspective in the situation dictates so much. Say the right perspective. Have you ever noticed people that can be different, see the same problem and see it differently? How you solve problems dictates a lot of things for your potential, your opportunity, your life. I remember my dad setting me down when I was young and say, son, in life, you're going to have to realize that you're paid for the problems you solve. Why can a doctor go in and talk to you for 2 minutes and make all that money? Because the level of the problem he's solving. Right. If you want to make more money, solve bigger problems. Yes. That's for all of us, even today. If you want more, solve a bigger problem. What problem are you solving for other people? It's a perspective thing. When the king was hiding and the soldiers were in their little holes hiding or talking from a distance, watching Goliath mock the armies of God. And understandably so, what you have to understand is they had an army without weapons. Only the king could carry a sword and armor. And so they're looking at Goliath, who says, I'll take any man. And they're like, unfair fight, he's bigger, he's trained, and he's got a weapon. He's not only got weapons, he's got a guy carrying his weapons. What's up with that? They saw it as an impossibility. They saw it as the fear factor. They saw it as, OMG, get me out of here, God. They saw it as, why me? They saw it as, where are you, God? David saw it as an opportunity. For David said, is there not a cause? Why? Same problem, same giant, but a different perspective. When you begin to see things from a different perspective in light of the word of God, it'll change the way you react to stuff. Yes. What would happen if instead of, I'll just be honest, I always had this within me, and it's just as I walked with God, it gets stronger and stronger. But this thing about not going with the flow and not doing what everybody else is doing and learning it, just this, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm wired to fight. Yeah. Not with people, but the enemy. When people come up and ask me to pray for them, I light up. Right. Because they see it as I'm being attacked. I see it as an opportunity to prove God's power. Right. To demonstrate, exercise the authority that God's given us as children of God. For someone who does well with this pandemic, some people see it as a pandemic and stores closing. Some people see it as an opportunity. I was talking to one guy who has a business and asked him how he was doing. And he said, we are having a banner year. I said, why? He goes, because not only do we manufacture what we have always manufactured in our products and sales, but we added the sanitized stuff to our production line. So when everybody else is shutting down, they looked at it as an opportunity, and now they're making money because guess what? They begin to meet a bigger need.
Yeah.
That's a natural thing. Thank you for the three people that use sanitize. I hope the rest of you at least use soap and water, because otherwise you need to stay in your seat. Pastor, we'll not be greeting anyone following the service. It's a perspective. David saw it as an opportunity. David saw it, is there not a cause? David saw it as, this guy is not attacking me or them. He's attacking the people of God, and this is not acceptable. When you begin to look at that way, maybe our mindset will change. Instead of saying a pandemic and people are getting sick, you can say, wow, an opportunity to demonstrate the healing power of God. This could be job security. Instead of saying, there's people dying. There's always people dying, but now all of a sudden people are talking about people dying, and when people are talking about people dying, they begin to think of eternity in their own life. This is a great season for us to share the gospel. Quit trying to hide in your home watching another Some of our biggest problems has been we can't figure out which platform to watch. Do Hulu, Netflix, Disney, YouTube TV. You know what I mean? We keep like Peacock, and they keep adding them. Which one do I want to watch to use my TV? Instead of that, why don't we get our focus on God? Who do you want me to reach? Because we are in a season. Church, listen to me. They're freaking out in the world. You don't have to freak out. We have an answer. See, I have the answer. Let the person say, oh, Jesus won't heal you of COVID. And then you go pray for somebody and say, Right. It's not your job to heal them. Right. It's your job to simply obey the opportunities and directions that God gives you. Amen. But you'll never take a step to obey until we get the perspective thing lined up. Right. The right perspective, the right attitude. Yeah. For whosoever is born of God. Do we have any born-again believers? Any children of God? All right. Are you listening to me? You're qualified. You innately are qualified, genetically qualified, historically qualified. It didn't say whosoever is born of God and does X, Y, and Z. It just says whosoever is born of God. If you are born again, if you are a Christian, don't let the devil tell you that he can defeat you. You are innately, as a child of God, son and daughter of the Most High God. You have within you the DNA of God. The Bible says that. I didn't say it. It says that you can't live in sin because his seed, his DNA, his genetic makeup spiritually is on the spirit person on the inside. And until your faith quits, the devil can't defeat you. You have within you the makeup of heaven, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You, as a child of God, as a son and daughter of the Most High God, you are designed not to be defeated, but to overcome. Come on, give him a better praise than that. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your zip code. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your income. It doesn't matter your connection. It doesn't matter your network. All that matters is, are you a son and daughter of the Most High God? If you are born of God, then you are designed. You know when the first thing comes to my mind as I stand here and I think about that? When it's automatic, genetically part of who you are, relax a little bit. You don't have to imitate someone who's a champion. You are a champion. Have you ever noticed that when somebody has achieved it, they rest in the reality of it? I mean, if you just won the heavyweight championship and you got the belt at home and the check in the bank, you don't have to walk around holding the belt. You can rest in the reality. Right? If you just sold your business and you're a billionaire, you don't have to walk around and show people your checkbook. You just rest in the reality. You rest in the reality. You don't have to buy everything. You know what happens in the world when we don't have it, but we want to look like we do have it? We spend money we don't have to buy stuff that we don't need so that we look like we have the ability to buy it. But if you really have it, you can rest in the reality. Do you hear me? You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to prove to somebody you're rich when you're rich. You can laugh all day as you look back and get online or get on your phone or your app and just look at all those numbers going across in your bank balance. Come on, somebody. You don't need to prove it. This is an important factor because the devil will try to trip you up to get you to prove something, and you'll step into something that God never called you to step into. Didn't he do that to Jesus? If you are the Son of God, prove it. Make that stone into bread. What was he trying to do? Getting him to step out and begin to follow the direction of the taunter and not the direction of his heavenly Father. Because Jesus was very clear. I didn't come to do my works. I came to do the work of the Father. The things that I say are the words I hear from the Father. The things that I do is what I see the Father do. I'm just a mirror, a reflection. If you see me, you see the Father. What was he saying? I don't take my cue from the enemy. I don't take my direction from the enemy. Godly people don't need to listen to ungodly people when it comes to the things of God. Daniel's like, what do you mean? I don't take advice from you when I pray and don't pray. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't take, King, you might be powerful, but we don't take advice from you on who we should worship. Why do godly people take advice from ungodly people about spiritual matters? Let me say that again. Why do godly people take advice from ungodly people about spiritual matters? We use that phrase to stay in your donut. Stay in your spot. It's none of your business. For whosoever is born of God, take a deep breath. I want you to rest in the reality you're a winner. You're an overcomer. You're the head and not the tail. You're above always and never to be beneath. And it all starts because of whose you are. Not based on your past, but based on who you belong to. You see, people, listen, if you are the child of Bill Gates, do you have to worry about? All they did is, all they had to do is get born. Now, some of you are like, I wish Bill Gates was my father. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see how he plays out the rest of these end times. You might get what you want, but not want what you got. You know what I mean? It just might be one of those, OMG, what I asked for. But I want you to rest in the reality that you're not defeated. You're not a failure. You overcome. Say, I overcome. Look to your other neighbor and say, I'm winning. Say, I'm a winner. Come on, say it again like you mean it. Say, I'm a winner. Some of you, this seems so foreign to you. You're like, I don't know if that sounds like a little too much pride. No, it doesn't. It's just a demonstration of who you belong to. I think Jesus wants us to be humble. He does. Humble doesn't mean that you don't win. Humble doesn't mean you don't know who you are. Humble means that you recognize your source. I've seen people talk and they act like they think they're acting humble, but they're really pride in the negative because everything's about themselves. So I got to get over myself. Come on, say, if I'm going to win, I got to get over myself. It's not about you. We got to start with him. The right perspective, we got to start with him. And when battles come, you need to, instead of trying to solve it, you need to back up and say, all right, Lord, show me what to do. Since he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the finisher, if he's the author and finisher of your faith, the word of God tells us, if he is before all things, if he sees all the end is equal from the beginning, he knew you'd be dealing with the battle before you got there. But before you got there or saw it, he knew it. And before you even knew it, he's prepared, the Bible says, to give you victory. And so he can boldly decree to his followers, when you deal with trials and tribulation, count it. That's what James says. What did Jesus say? Be of? Why? Woo, if you could trust me, child, I'd put it within you. I just don't have anybody to help me. Sure you do. It's called Jesus. Get in his word. If God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's more for you than against you. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall, obviously this will be a series. Number one, the right perspective. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now notice this. This is where a lot of Christians stop right in this next verse. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. I just want to say it this way. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're just here. Kumbaya, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And the cards have been dealt. I'm just trying to play with. That's where a lot of Christians stop. This is, don't you, I just how I draw that. As it is, for thy sake, we are killed. I'm being beat up for Jesus' sake. Oh, I'm trying to give him glory through this disease. That's what the person told me. God gets glory out of my suffering. I'm suffering for you, Jesus. I'm suffering for you. Verse 37. Now we're going to change tones. Verse 37. King James says, nay. You know what that means? That's what it means. That's what it means right there. No. Say no. No. In all these things, we are more. 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 I think you're putting too much emphasis to no. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not sympathy, not survival, but a conquering perspective. You are more. You are more. You are more than a conqueror. I heard this story. I've used this illustration before, but I like it, so I'm going to use it again. You know what more than a conqueror is? Imagine a boxer who goes into the ring, heavyweight champion, and he goes to defend his title, and he spends months training, months restricting his diet, months running every day. I remember growing up and seeing Rocky. Remember Rocky? Cracked those raw eggs, drinking it up. Until I tried that. Raw eggs, not good. Ugh. Running those miles, lifting those weights, sparring, punching, sweating. I keep coming back to Rocky. It's the only training I've ever seen. You know what I mean? It's just it's being punched, gets ready for the day of the fight. And as he gets into the ring, people are just shouting, people are cheering, people are having a great time. For them, it's entertainment. For them, it's some fun. For them, it's an enjoyable evening out. For him, he's going to war. And he gets in the ring and he begins to fight. First round, second round, and he's taking punches and he's giving punches. And his face starts bleeding a little and starts swelling. And he's out of breath and he's exhausted and he keeps going the rounds. And he fights. And at the end, they lift his hand and said he was the winner. He's the champion. Now, one of the things they do after he wins is they give him a check. Nowadays, it's wire transferred. But anyway, for the story. And he comes home, most likely after a day in the hospital. True story. And he comes home, and his wife says, meets him at the door, how'd you do? And he says, I won. I'm the champion. Once again, I have the belt. I'm the heavyweight champion of the world. She says, wonderful. Where's the check? And he hands over the check. He's the conqueror. She is more than the conqueror. She didn't have to change her diet. She didn't have to train. She didn't have to throw a punch. She didn't have to take a punch. All she does is receive the benefits. All she had to do is receive the benefits. You didn't have to take the whipping. You didn't have to have your beard pulled out. No one put a crown of thorns on your head. You never bled through your pores. You never were crucified on the cross. But I'm telling you, at the end, they raise his hand and he's the conqueror. And when he comes and you are born again, you are more than a conqueror. You are the receiver of a battle. You did not have to fight. And he looks to his church and tells them, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now you go in my name. The devil is under your feet. You are DNA a winner. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a winner. Shout, I'm a winner. Now you might sit here and say, well, that's exciting, Pastor, but I don't feel like a winner. Nothing seems to be going my way. Smack yourself sometimes. Get a hold of yourself and say, wait a minute. You got to tell yourself to shut up and refocus, reset your focus to what God says. Get your mind lined up with the Word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do? If you're sitting there like, Pastor, I just don't feel it. That was exciting. I even did a kumbaya. I lift one hand to you. I thought that was awesome, Pastor, but I'm still not there. Well, welcome to the party. You got to grow this thing. Yeah. Matthew 13. Faith takes time. It's a process. But you start by getting the word. Be not conformed to the problem. Be not conformed to the environment. Do not be conformed to the situation. Do not be conformed to the way the world does it. But be transformed, Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Ephesians 4, verse 23 says, the renewing of the spirit of your mind. You need to get in the word.
Amen.
And allow him to change you from glory to glory to glory into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because the Bible tells us, are you ready for this? 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are you. When you understand this, when you understand the culture of the time of Jesus, you'll understand why one gospel refers to the centurion soldier and the other gospel refers to the soldier's servant. Who's wrong? Neither, because when you are a representative and you speak, you represent the one you are speaking for as if they were there. So one person reads it as the servant, the other author reads it as the person. I'm telling you, you might say, I'm not Jesus. When you walk into the room and the devil looks at you, when you have your understanding on who you are in Christ, you walk in with the expectation, the understanding. The devil sees when you speak, you're not saying what you want to say. You're speaking the word of God, and the devil doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. Ooh, say, I'm a winner. Come on, church, listen to me. If the devil could kill you, you'd already be dead. The very fact that you woke up this morning, you ought to laugh at him. You ought to mock him. You ought to be like Elijah and mock the prophets of Baal. Say, where is your God? Maybe he's stuck in the toilet. Or he can't answer your prayers. Where are you? When you get a perspective change, you're not afraid of the devil. You're going to wake up, and when he shows up, you can say, listen, we can handle this two ways. I'll give you 30 seconds to run, or I'm going to come after you, and either way, I'm going to win. Say, I'm a winner. Say, I'm a winner. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think and believe and have the attitude. And we've all heard it in churches. We're just going to barely make it by. That's not the Bible. I'm going to go back to the Bible. I'm going to go back to the Bible. I'm going to go back to the Bible. I'm going to, if they say, oh, we're going to try to shut things down again, there's a second wave pandemic, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be like, all right, Lord, show me the opportunity, because I'm not running. I am not afraid. I'm not going to shut down. I'm not going to hide. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to reach? How can I feed somebody? How can I pray for somebody? How can I invite somebody? What do you want me to do? This is your moment. This is a wave from heaven. God didn't send the disease, but he can give you the solution to help somebody out. Don't think survival. Never think survival. Never think survival. If you don't know what to say, then don't say anything. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Never look to survival. The moment you're trying to reach for survival, you're out of faith, because the faith has to be aligned with the word of God. Romans 10:17, and the word will always bring you to victory, not survival. And so if you don't have a word on survival, which you don't, it's not in there, then you can't have a faith on survival. Therefore, your prayers are not with faith, which means your prayers have no power. Don't you try to survive. You're not here trying to just make it. You're just not trying to make it one more day. No, you're here to take over. You're here to overcome. You're here to have victory. But you need the right perspective.
Right.
We need the right perspective.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk about the number, the second, and then the third week after that, Lord willing. And then we're going to get into a series. This is so important that this is not enough. I can't spend enough time today on this. We're going to do a whole series on this following. And we're going to call it, you ready? We're going to call it Indomitable.
Yeah.
Indomitable. Are you ready? Here's the definition for that. This is coming your way. See, it's coming my way. According to the Cambridge Dictionary, of a person, it's someone who is strong, brave, are you ready? And impossible to defeat. Ooh, How'd you like to be walking through 2021 with an attitude from heaven that you are impossible to defeat? Come on, somebody. That's what Hope Church is about. We're going to love God. We're going to build you up so you know what God says. Hey, impossible to defeat or make frightened. How many times do you see Jesus say to people, don't be afraid? In the Bible, don't be afraid. How about you start becoming that person that says, don't be afraid? Indomitable spirit, attitude. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise one more time. Shout out, I'm a winner because of Jesus. Now, you know, without Jesus, and that's obvious, but maybe let me over-communicate. Without Jesus, you're on your own. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. I heard a preacher say, well, you know, Christians quote that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And he said on TV, he said, but you know, that's totally out of context. Because actually, what Paul was referring to is being able to be content in success or failure or in plenty or in lack. And that part is true. But if it was just in that part, Paul should have said or would have said, I got your attention. He would have said, I can do these things through Christ. Whether in plenty or in want, I've learned to be content. I can do this through, but he didn't say that. He said, he used that as a starting point of an example and said, I can do all things. What was he saying? Regardless of the situation, in Christ, you win. You win. You, I don't know what to do. Then wait, he's been made wisdom unto you. Jesus has been made wisdom. Ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. You win. You got the wisdom of God. You have the mind of Christ. You have the power of God. You have the presence of God. You have the healing power of God. You have the health of God. You have the rest of God. You have the joy of the Holy Ghost. You have the peace of Jesus. If he would not hold Jesus, the Bible says, if he did not withhold him, what would he withhold from you? But the Bible says he's richly giving you all things to enjoy. 2021 doesn't know what it's heading for. Because you're coming not with the idea of what are you going to give me. You're coming with the idea you're going to get in line. And you're going to work to my behalf according to the will of God and the word of God. Amen. Shall I win? Amen. Bow your head, close your eyes. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you if you should join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. So my question for you right now, because victory, peace, joy, love, life is found truly in him. So many of us have, in our past, have bankrupt relationships, bankrupt businesses, bankrupt things because we kept trying to see what we could get out of it and not what we could invest into it. Because the true source of all life comes from him. Amen. If you're here today, maybe you've never heard the gospel before, or maybe you've heard the gospel and you've never made that decision. Or maybe you're here, you say, I used to have a relationship with the Lord, but for whatever reason, I've allowed stuff to come between me and God, and I know my heart's not right. If either one of those are you, I'm here to tell you, this is your moment. What a great way to start out the new year. Your heart right with God. You don't need to live under that fear, that condemnation, that oppression, the weight, dark cloud of the enemy. God can set you free, but you don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't know the price he's paid then. He wants you forgiven and free, but you have to accept it. We do that through, the Bible says, through opening the door of opportunity, praying, inviting him in. If you don't know Jesus in a real and personal way, this is your moment. Let's pray this prayer with me as I lead you. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Say, Jesus, I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Amen, church.